Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that. I don't think you can prove those numbers one way or the other. There's no way to really quantify crowds. We all know that. You can laugh at me all you want. I'll just ignore it. I'm bigger than that.
It's really so stupid. Come on.
I'll just ignore it. I'm bigger than that.
Come on. It's torture. I just gotta let it out. I gotta tell you, folks, I was cracking up when I was listening to that. It is just so hilarious. Kellyanne Conway and her alternative facts, and Anderson Cooper just lost it. You're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Automatic.com. John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawaquan at your-poetry.com. We're also on Pinterest and SoundCloud. Anderson Cooper just lost it. He could not even speak for like 10 minutes. He just said, that is so stupid, and just continued to crack up. Let me tell you, this is a cabinet. It's not even a cabinet. It's a cabinet of Keystone Cops. I've got to tell you that. This is going to be a fun presidency. So anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
In the last 7 to 8 years, I began to develop a different comic voice and a different perspective. You know, comedy, stand-up comedy is a low art. It's a vulgar art. It's an art of the people. It's not
fun. But it's an art.
But it is an art. It has to do with interpreting the world as you see it and then writing something and then delivering it verbally. And I found a very liberating position for myself as an artist. And that was, I sort of gave up on the human race and gave up on the American dream and culture and nation, and decided that I didn't care about the outcome. And that gave me a lot of freedom from a kind of distant platform to be sort of amused, to watch the whole thing with a combination of wonder and pity, and try to put that into words.
Not caring about the outcome. What do you mean by that?
Not having an emotional stake in whether this experiment with human beings works. I really don't care. I love people as I meet them one by one. People are just wonderful as individuals. You see the whole universe in their eyes if you look carefully. But as soon as they begin to group, as soon as they begin to clot, when there are five of them or ten, or even groups as small as two, they begin to change. They sacrifice the beauty of the individual for the sake of the group. I decided it was all under the control of groups now, whether it's business, religion, political people, or what, and I would distance myself from wishing for a good outcome. Let it do what it's going to do, and I'll enjoy it as an entertainment.
And I'll reflect on what it is on its own.
And I'll enjoy it for the entertainment. There's a little bit of a sick part in this, too. Yeah. I root for the big comet. I root for the big asteroid to come and make things right. That's the way I put it.
Stir things up.
Yes, to get us back where we were before the first one came and knocked out these dinosaurs and let the ferrets
grow. We're talking about comets on this show tonight.
I know. And I'm rooting for that big one to come right through that hole in the ozone layer because I want to see it on CNN. See, I'm here for the entertainment, Charlie. I am. People, these philosophers say, why are we here? I know I am here.
For the entertainment.
The show. Bring it on. I want to see the circus.
But so, how does this affect your performance and what you bring to stand-up?
Well, I've seen a lot of comedians, we've all seen a lot of comedians who seem to have a political bent in their work. And always implicit in the work is some positive outcome, that this is all going to work. If only we do this, if only we pass that bill, if only we elect him, if only we do that. It's not true. It's circling the drain time for humans. I believe this. I honestly believe this. Not just as a comedian, he thinks that. He likes to say that. Yeah. I believe it. And when you say to yourself, I don't care what happens. It just gives you a broader perspective for the art, for the words to emerge, to not care. That's what happened in that 92 show. That's why I could say the planet is fine, the people are... Because the planet will outlast us. It will be here and it will be fine.
Has the subject matter changed?
Well, you're still stuck with what's going on. Yeah. But I don't like topical. I don't like political humor. I don't mention politicians. In fact, I defend them in this particular show. Everyone is on their case. Everyone is always making things.
I
defend them and blame it on the people. This is where it belongs.
You deserve.
Yes, you get what you deserve, and you deserve what you get. And I have a slogan, the public sucks. And it works nicely, and people accept it. Not very enthusiastically, but they understand that it says we the people in that preamble. It doesn't say them the thises and those the thats. It says, hey.
We got on this boat.
And people who hate government are involved in a form of suicide because government is self-government. And if you hate the government, you hate yourself. Yeah. It's the same with the war against nature that mankind goes through. So I just said to myself, it's not going to get better, not in my lifetime. Let me enjoy this and get a little perverse about my commentary on it.
What does perverse mean, though?
Well, to look for where the people think the line is. The people have values, that these things, these amorphous things they call values that they bring to the seat in the theater when they sit down. Yeah. And I like to find out where their line may be and deliberately cross it, disturb them a little, make them uncomfortable, and then bring them with me across the line and make them glad they came. That's what I do. I'm an entertainer. I'm not a doomsayer. I'm not here to preach. I don't do political tracts. But I do entertain. I do a lot of jokes. But I want you to feel a little in danger along the way.
That was the late, great George Carlin speaking to Charlie Rose. And, you know, giving some facts I wouldn't say facts, but, you know, giving his ideas on people and... you know, maybe the future, I don't know. But what I found interesting is that he says, you know, he loves the individual. He loves to meet people individually. Because once people get into groups, they lose their individuality, and it's all for the sake of the group. And we've seen this. We've seen this in this past election, for example. People have given up their individual thoughts for the thoughts of the masses that... you know, it's kind of like a gang. You know, you're not an individual anymore when you're in the gang. You're for the gang. Everything you do is for the gang. And so when people get together, what they do is they sacrifice that individuality for the sake of the group. And what I mean when I say that we've seen this in the election, well, we all know the results of the election. And we've had all these people just get together and say, okay, we're going to vote for this guy who actually lost the popular vote, you know, in this stupid electoral college thing. They need to get rid of that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, just have people vote, and one person has more votes than the other, and that person wins. This electoral college junk, it's really ridiculous. You know, but when you speak of, and it's kind of complicated, when you think of how people, when they get together as a group, all of a sudden morph into something that is very unnatural. It's an unnatural because, like I said, and like George Collins said, it's not the individual anymore. It's the group. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like a jury. When you're on a jury, you know, you may have individual votes, but you have to get together and you have to say guilty or not guilty. It has to be unanimous. And when, so then you lose your individual vote at that moment. You know, you might be pressured into saying, okay, yeah, sure, he's guilty. Or, okay, yeah, sure, you know, she's innocent. You may not feel that way, but for the sake of the group and for the sake of argument, you say, okay, I'll just give in. And many people, and I believe many people, during this past election had that thought. And the thought was, we need change. Now, change was going to come either way, whether it would be the first woman president or whether it would be the dump that's now in office. The people come together and they say, okay, we're going to do this as a group. The individual thought goes away. And this is the thing that makes human beings complicated, because you want to be yourself. You want to say, okay, this is how I feel. This is what I want to do. But once you step into that group, now it's what the group wants and not what you want. And I know it sounds weird. I know it sounds like all over the place, but if you think about it, that's just what it is. It's not what I want, it's what they want. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. I can't tell you. You know, I actually think that individuality is very important. I personally don't like groups. I'm not a person that, you know, can conform. I'm a person that says, you know, well, listen, you guys can think what you want, but I'm going this way. And I think that we should kind of maintain that form of thinking. But once again, you know, humans are complicated. And hey, you know, you reap what you sow. And yeah, whatever. Anyway, you're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR. And I shall return.
Keep your head up, ride with me, let's go. Keep your ears up, listen to me, let's go. Keep your head up, ride with me, let's go. Keep your ears up, listen to me, let go. Keep your head up, ride with me, let's go. Keep your ears up, listen to me, let's go. Keep your head up, ride with me, let's go. Keep your ears up, listen to me, let go.
the job, back for the drug, back on the spot. You already know what keeps it hot. Took a trip down south, they love my style, they say I'm tight. East side, north side, west side, they love my style. Back on the job, back for the drug, back on the spot. You already know what keeps it hot. Took a trip down south, they love my style, they say I'm tight. East side, north side, west side, they love my style. With me, let's go. Keep your ears up, listen to me, let's go. Keep your head up, vibe with me, let's go. Keep your ears up, listen to me, let go. Keep your head up, vibe with me, let's go. Keep your ears up, listen to me, let's go. Keep your head up, vibe with me, let's go. Keep your ears up, listen to me, let go. Back on the job, back for the drug, back on the spot. You already know what keeps it hot. Took a trip down south, they love my style, they say I'm tight. East side, north side, west side, they love my style. Back on the job, back for the drug, back on the spot. You already know what keeps it hot. Took a trip down south, they love my style, they say I'm tight. East side, north side, west side, they love my style. Back on the job, back for the drug, back on the spot. You already know what keeps it hot. Took a trip down south, they love my style, they say I'm tight. East side, north side, west side, they love my style. Back on the job, back for the drug, back on the spot. You already know what keeps it hot. Took a trip down south, they love my style, they say I'm tight. East side, north side, west side, they love my style.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I just hoping that we could get a yes or no answer on one of these questions involving Russia. Can you say whether you are aware that anyone who advised your campaign had contacts with Russia during the course of the election?
Well, I told you, General Flynn obviously was dealing, so that's one person, but he was dealing as he should have been.
During the election?
No, nobody that I know of. Nobody.
So you're not aware of any contacts during the course of the election?
How many times do I have to answer this question?
Can you just say
Russia
yes or no
is
on
a
it?
Ruse. Yeah, I know you have to get up and ask a question, so important. Russia is a ruse. I have nothing to do with Russia. Haven't made a phone call to Russia in years. Don't speak to people from Russia. Not that I wouldn't, I just have nobody to speak to. I spoke to Putin twice. He called me on the election. I told you this. And he called me on the inauguration a few days ago. We had a very good talk, especially the second one, lasted for a pretty long period of time. I'm sure you probably get it because it was classified, so I'm sure everybody in this room perhaps has it. But we had a very, very good talk. I have nothing to do with Russia. To the best of my knowledge, no person that I deal with does. Now, Manafort has totally denied it. He denied it. Now, people knew that he was a consultant over in that part of the world for a while, but not for Russia. I think he represented Ukraine or people having to do with Ukraine or people that whoever. But people knew that. Everybody knew that.
But in his capacity as your campaign manager, was he in touch with Russian officials during the election?
You know what? He said no. I can only tell you what he... Now, he was replaced long before the election. You know that, right? He was replaced long before the election. When all of this stuff started coming out, it came out during the election. But Paul Manafort, who's a good man also, by the way, Paul Manafort was replaced long before the election took place. He was only there for a short period of time. Okay. How much longer should we stay here, folks?
Folks, have you ever seen a president that couldn't answer a yes and no question, or yes or no question, with yes or no? Trump is such a narcissist that he just likes to talk. He loves the attention. He loves to be able to say things. He, as for one thing, he likes to be, you know, he loves being, let me say it this way. He loves to be the spectacle of the party. And I say spectacle. You know, everybody's looking at him. Everybody's wondering what is he going to do next? What is he going to say next? What is he going to tweet next? Because everything he does is just ridiculous. I mean, it's just idiotic. Okay? Now, I was watching this thing last night, a documentary where they were polling people that had voted for Trump, and they were asking him, they were asking these people, well, how do you feel so far? Many of them said that they were unsure, that they didn't know. A couple of them said they were frightened. And others said, well, you know, give him a chance. And again, others said, well, they think he's doing a great job. This guy is such a narcissist. And what gets me, I was listening to a thing, I think this morning, where Trump was criticizing Obama as being incompetent and golfing a lot and taking vacations. Donald Trump goes to Florida every weekend to Villa de Mar, that place that he, I think it's called Villa de Mar, that place that he bought that cost billions of dollars to buy. And, you know, he sits, listen, he sits at a table with people that have nothing to do with government. They're just people that have money. I mean, you're paying like over $1,000 for a plate of food. And not only that, but you have to pay to get in. It's like a venue. It's really weird. And he's sitting there on the phone doing presidential stuff in front of people who have no governmental clearance, who shouldn't even be listening to him having a conversation with whoever it is he's having a conversation with. But he loves the attention. And that's a narcissist. He loves the attention. He loves having all these people around. He has photos. He takes pictures. And he's got the phone in his hand. And, you know, there are people sitting there that don't know jack about government. Well, you know, not that they don't know nothing about politics or anything, but they have no clearance. They have no reason to be there while he is taking these phone calls. I mean, what is with this dude? Listen, I don't mind a president being a little unorthodox, but this guy is just off the map. He is absolutely off the map. And he's just constantly giving the media ammunition. He's giving me ammunition. I mean, for the past three or four shows, all of this has been Donald Trump. Because, you know, you just can't, you can't avoid it. You don't want to avoid it because you're waiting to see what dumb thing is he going to say next. And he can't even give a yes or no answer to a yes or no question. And the other thing was when one of the black reporters got up and asked him about the, what is it, the Negro, I don't know what it was. It was some sort of African-American organization, and she asked if he wanted to sit down and have a meeting with them. And he tells her, would you like to set it up? Would you like to set it up? Can you get us together? He's asking a black person, like he's saying this, well, you're black, why don't you go over there and tell your brothers and sisters, you know, that I'd like to sit down and talk with them? What is this guy? This dude is such a trip that all I can do is laugh, like Anderson Cooper did in the beginning of the show, you know, on CNN. When he was just laughing at Kellyanne Conway, that he lost control. And I got to tell you, it's really funny. Because he actually does, he has a cabinet of Keystone Cops. They're tripping over each other's feet. And like I said before, I don't believe this guy's presidency is going to go 4 years. I'll be surprised. I will applaud if it does. I really will. But right now, this guy is really ridiculous. This spontaneous news conference that he gave, where he was basically just putting down the media, had no precedence and had there was nothing of importance in it. He just wanted to talk. He just wanted to stand on the podium and talk. This is your president. So have fun. Okay? Anyway, this is Views with a Twist. My name is JDR. On your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawaquan at your-poetry.com. We're also on Pinterest and SoundCloud. I'll be back.
Wild press conference, and I think that, first of all, purportedly, the purpose of it was to introduce his new Secretary of Labor nominee, Alexander Acosta. He talked about Jim Acosta more than he talked about Alexander Acosta. He talked about Hillary Clinton more than he talked about Alexander Acosta. He spent the first part of his remarks talking about accomplishments that he thought the media, the fake media, whatever he wants to call us, were not paying enough attention to. But then, instead of focusing on these accomplishments and offering an optimistic, positive view of what he's doing for this country, it was an airing of grievances. It was Festivus. It was complaints about the media. At one point, he said, the leaks were real, but the news is fake, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He said things that were not true. Peter Alexander from NBC pointed out one of them when he said he had the biggest electoral victory win since Ronald Reagan. That's not true. Clinton, Obama, George H.W. Bush, all were bigger. But moving on to that, if you are a soldier in harm's way right now, if you are a hungry child in Appalachia or the inner city, If you are an unemployed worker in a hollow shell of a steel town, that's not a president who seemed rather focused on your particular needs and wants. That's a president focused on his bad press. It was unhinged, it was wild, and I can't believe that there are Republicans and on Capitol Hill and in the White House who don't understand. That might play well with the 44% of the population that voted for the president. But a lot of Americans are going to watch that press conference and think, that guy is not focused on me. I don't even know what he's focused on.
I think all of us were pretty much stunned by the course of this hour and 15-minute appearance.
Look, everybody at home just needs to ask themselves, how would you react if that were your boss coming in and giving a speech to the employees where you work? How would you react if that was somebody in your family that you were trying to have a conversation with? You would think, this is very difficult to assess in a positive way. The person is not dealing with the world in which we live. He said things that weren't true. He was called out by one reporter. You said you had the biggest electoral victory since Reagan. That's not true. And he said, well, somebody gave me that information. The buck stops there? Is that where we are with this presidency? You said it. Own the words. You were wrong. But it's not just about electoral votes. It's about the fact that he's still fixated on whether or not he legitimately won the presidency. President Trump, if you're watching, you're the president. You legitimately won the presidency. Now get to work and stop whining about it.
And Jake Tapper is so correct, folks. I mean, this guy is so focused on calling the media fake. He is so fixated on legitimizing his presidency, his win. I mean, come on, dude. The Electoral College gave you the win. You're president. Now get to work. Stop whining. He's got always something to cry about. Jesus Christ, would you give me a break? He's ridiculous. So this is Views with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com. We're on Pinterest and SoundCloud. I'm going to give my shout-outs to the NYPD, the FDNY, my brothers and sisters in the military, all of my friends in Deutschland, everyone that listens to me, all three of you. Let me see, we got the ASPCA, North Shore Animal League, SOS Wildlife of India, all first responders, and all animal caretakers. I shall return.
I'm investigating a murder. A guy named Michael Russo just came into the picture. You ever hear of him?
Yes.
Good evening. I just wanted to say thank you for coming to campus tonight and presenting your point of view. It's always valuable to have two sets of views going on at the same time. Very useful. My name is Jumana Imad Musa Ahmed Al-Bahri, and I'm a student here at UCSD. I was reading your literature. I found that much more interesting than the talk. And I found some interesting things about the MSA, which is an organization that's very active on campus, and it is hosting our annual Hitler Youth Week. You should come out to those events. If you could clarify the connection between the MSA and jihad terrorist networks, because last I checked, we had to do our own fundraising, and we never get help from anyone. So if you could clarify the connection between UCSD's MSA, or if you don't have such information, if you could connect other MSAs on UC's, because the connection wasn't too clear in the pamphlet, just if you could clarify.
Okay. Will you condemn Hamas here and now?
I'm sorry, what?
Will you condemn Hamas?
Would I condemn Hamas?
As a terrorist organization, genocidal organization.
Are you asking me to put myself on a cross?
So you won't. I actually have had this experience many times. You didn't read the pamphlet because the pamphlet is chapter and verse. The main connection is that the MSA is part of the Muslim Brotherhood Network as revealed in the documents.
I don't think you understood what
anyway,
I meant by that. I meant if I say something, I'm sure that I will be arrested for reasons of Homeland Security. So if you could please just answer my question.
If you condemn Hamas, Homeland Security will arrest you.
If I support
you.
Hamas, because your question forces me to condemn Hamas. If I support Hamas,
well,
I look really bad.
If you
bad.
Don't condemn Hamas, obviously you support it. Case closed. I've had this experience. I had this experience at UC Santa Barbara, where there were 50 members of the Muslim Students Association sitting right in the rows there. And throughout my hour talk, I kept asking them, will you condemn Hezbollah and Hamas? And none of them would. And then when the question period came, the president of the Muslim Students Association was the first person to ask questions. And I said, you know, before you start, will you condemn Hezbollah? And he said, well, that question is too complicated for a yes-no answer. So I said, okay, I'll put it to you this way. I'm a Jew. The head of Hezbollah has said that he hopes that we will gather in Israel so he doesn't have to hunt us down globally. For it or against it?
For it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming and showing everybody what's here. And you're wearing a terrorist neckerchief.
If you understood...
No, you didn't hear the lady. You
could
ask
you please
question,
answer my question?
You don't get to make a speech. Yes, sir.
Yeah, folks. That was David Horowitz, and he was having a little back and forth there with a Muslim student from that college, USD, I think she said. She was quite intelligent, you know. She was quite intelligent, as you saw, as you heard. But this is the thing that upsets me, because as Horowitz said or asked, "Would you condemn Hamas? Would you condemn Hezbollah?" She couldn't answer the question, and Horowitz, you know, he went on, and you know, he said, you know, listen, well. You know, if you don't condemn them, then actually you're for them. And he spoke about the gentleman that he asked, would you condemn Hezbollah? And, you know, the guy said, you know, I can't answer that question. This is my problem with the Muslim religion. I don't hate Muslims. I got nothing against Muslims. They make me nervous. Why? Because they will not condemn the terrorist acts or the terrorist organizations in their country. They don't condemn it. They don't say these people are bad. They can't answer the yes or no question, would you condemn them or not? Oh, I can't. That's a difficult question. Why is it difficult? These guys are out to destroy Israel. They are out to destroy America. They are out to destroy anyone that doesn't have the same beliefs that they do. And so, for me, personally, that makes me nervous. Because the guy in the corner store, even though I'll walk in there and he smiles, and I smile, and we'll give fist bumps, and I will patronize his store, thinking to myself, where's that money going? Yeah, some of it might be going for them to live, of course. Where's the rest of the money going? These guys take 6 months vacations in Yemen or wherever they come from. So what are they doing those 6 months? Where's the cash flow going? Who are they supporting? Because obviously, if they're not condemning these organizations, they are agreeing with these organizations. So you're living in my country, yet you will not condemn an organization that wants to destroy my country. As a matter of fact, if we all of a sudden begin a war with Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever, these guys are crying that we are trying to destroy them. Well, of course we're trying to destroy them. We're not trying to destroy the civilians. We're trying to destroy these organizations that are out to destroy us and Israel. And often Israel just gets on my nerves too. You know, they're a bunch of crybabies. But for these people, and I always get upset when I see someone walking around with the hijab, you know, that's not so bad because it just looks like a scarf over your head. But when they're like walking around in black and all you can see is their eyes, you know, you got the guys walking around. Listen, religion is religion. Whatever you want to believe in it. But do not condone violence. Do not condone the destruction of the country that you are living in and taking advantage of. You are prospering. This woman's going to college, getting a nice education. Maybe she'll be a doctor or something. Yet, when you ask her to condone maybe ISIS, you know what? I can't answer that question. Well, you know what? Get the fuck out. You're in America. And I don't want you bringing that shit over here. My last podcast, I played a soundbite from a Marine that got 44 million views. He had a YouTube thing, and it got 44 million views. 44 million views. And the gentleman said, when he asked, because he was over in Persia, he asked someone that was working with him that was of Muslim faith, what would happen to me if I was to walk out in the streets? And they immediately told him he would not be welcome. As a matter of fact, they would rip him. They would rip him apart. And he asked the question, "Well, why should I let you into my country, knowing that you're going to do that? Knowing that if I walk around here, I'm going to get my head ripped off. Yeah, I'm going to allow you into my country with that same sort of thinking. You come into my country, you look at me, you smile, and in the back of your head, you're thinking, man, I can't wait to get rid of these goddamn Americans. Yet you're taking my money. You've got some knife. Anyway, you've been listening to Views with the Swizz. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Podomatic.com. John Robinson at writerscafe.org. Tawaquan at your-poetry.com on SoundCloud and Pinterest. If I'm not back, I'll see you next week. Well, I'm going to say bye-bye. Bye-bye.